Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 20th of August at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I want to also welcome you to the show. Just throwing up my banner right now in 12 Radio, and you'll be able to find that. If you want to go to the chat room, head over to 12radio.com. That's number 2radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. So that's the way to do it. And I'm getting my banner up right this minute. I forgot. I took a week off and now I don't know how to act. Oh gosh. And I'm so sorry that I missed last week. I didn't think I was going to. And so I hadn't really given you guys a heads up. But Mars was moving back to school. And, you know, for college for the year. And I didn't think we were going to need to go with her. And then at the end of the day, we really did. So that's why. Had to move that kid to college. But I am back. So I appreciate you for bearing with me. I want to say hi to the chatters. Yes, Lillian, I will for sure give you a birthday reading today, my friend. I'm sorry I missed you last week. Oh, how are we doing? How did that full moon sit with you guys? I'm curious to know. Thank you, Quelly. You as well. Yeah, good to see everybody. And I do have my banner up in the chat room now over on 12 Radio. So you can find that over there. So as a reminder, you can find my show live streaming at 12 Radio, audio, obviously. Or you can watch my show if you'd rather, and you can do that at YouTube or Facebook, Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. If you want to search for it, that's how you do that. So I would be happy to see you. Jessica said she's been sleepless the last two nights. Ooh, that moon can be a B for that, can't it? Me too, but it's because I can't put my book down. Not last night, but the night before. Scott didn't come to bed. He usually stays up way later than I do, but that's his time to shine. Like, I don't know if I am a morning person, but my body is, and my dogs are, and my pigs are, so I'm up first thing in the morning. But Scott hits his, like, prime creative time around, like, 10, so he'll still be up working on projects and stuff sometimes till 2 or 3, and then he sleeps later. So it's just kind of a nice, you know, we both work from home. But we both kind of have our own schedules, which I think is kind of nice because it helps us stay out of each other's way a little bit. I don't know. Maybe. But not last night, but the night before he came to bed at like 3 and I was still reading. He was like, "What do you think you're doing? You have got to go to bed." And truly, I did because I had somewhere to be first thing yesterday morning. But anyway, when you're reading a good book, you're reading a good book. What can I say? And I have just... Some of you I know couldn't relate to this, or probably can, but I used to be a really avid reader. And then over the years, especially after I got my thyroid out for a few years, I just, my sleep, my thinking was so disordered that reading was harder for me. I was more likely to listen to books on tape or like to Audible or to just read shorter things. And I would still read books, but really struggle through them. Then the last couple of years, I've just felt like I just get eye fatigue so fast that reading has been hard. And I finally discovered by messing around with some readers that my cousin had on last year at a psychic fair that I just need glasses. I'm 47. It shouldn't be a big surprise, but I just needed glasses. So I bought some readers and... Now I'm just reading my damn fool head off because I can see. Crazy. I probably need to go to the eye doctor and like get a proper prescription because I think I probably need glasses in general at this point. But it's kind of always been my claim to fame that I didn't need glasses. But here we are. Yeah. It's probably fine. Well, I hope that you guys are well. I've got, hey, Denise. Oh, she said she did the eye fatigue also. Oh, since cataract surgery, it's better. Okay, I'm not there yet. But I'm glad it's better for you, my friend, for sure. Oh, gosh. Pamela said it was an intense full moon for her. Not a fan. Yeah. This moon was kind of heavy. There was some grief in it. There was some self-reflection in it. I think maybe with the Mercury in retro, kind of, they teamed up to bring people some, oh, blasts from the past, though maybe not in the most positive way. Maybe for some it was good. But that's what I saw with a lot of my clients is like old grief coming up, old regrets coming up, kind of uncomfy walks down memory lane. But at any rate, there's a lot to be learned in moons like that, in lessons like, or, in situations like that. There's a lot to be learned. There's a lot to be picked up on. So I don't think that it's a bad thing per se. I think that sometimes we need those. It's so much easier to stay in comfort zones, than it is to march yourself into harder places or tear off bandages that you've put on wounds that you really don't want to have to feel again. Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes those things need to come out. Sometimes we're messy. Sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes we're mean. Sometimes we have explosions that we wish we hadn't had. We're not perfect. We're just people. We're doing our best. And I think sometimes we have to let some of that energy out. Sometimes that is just who we are. Sometimes that's really helpful. I can think of times when I was a kid that my mother, in my eyes at the time, I might have seen it as being embarrassing, but it, looking back on it, displayed immense courage and let her, I would say, what we probably in the spiritual world call our shadow selves out. I remember a time in the grocery store. We were in the grocery store shopping, and there was a woman with a little child in her cart that was obviously really distressed. It was a little boy. He was really, really dirty. You know how you see sometimes, and then, hell, my kids were dirty too sometimes. That's having kids, but this little guy was real dirty and in dirty clothes and was very unhappy and was screaming and crying in the cart. And the woman that was with him, my mom thought maybe it was his grandma, maybe not. She was quite a lot older to think that she was his mom, but maybe she was, who knows? But she was being really mean with him, rough with him, screaming in his face to shut up. She hit him a couple of times. And my little 5 foot tall mother walked over there and stood between that shopping cart and that woman. And she said, "That's enough. Don't you put your hands on him again. He's obviously unhappy. Take care of him, whatever he needs." She's like, "You don't get to act like that. Don't yell at him again. Don't hit him again." And she stared this woman down. And this lady was a head taller than my mom, a lot bigger than her. And she glared at her. And my mom just stood her ground and finally walked away and then continued to follow her until she left, watched her drive away and wrote down her driver's license or her license plate and called it in. Yeah. That's guts, man. I've seen situations that scared me that probably I should have done something about that I didn't. But she was good at pulling up her, she was a Sag. She was really good at pulling out her shadow when she needed to. And I think, this is my opinion, I think that a lot of us haven't had maybe the need to, and I think maybe sometimes haven't had the luxury of feeling brave enough or bold enough. I don't know. What is it? I don't know. But this moon, along with other moments, sometimes pull that shadow to the center, you know? So you might be more aggressive than you normally are or more assertive. Maybe you'd say things you normally wouldn't say, but then again, maybe there's nothing wrong with that. I did do something yesterday that I have not done in the past, and I don't know. I had made myself a t-shirt that says Kamala on it in cat letters. It's really cute. I'll show you at some point. But I wore it into the grocery store and, or not the grocery store, the pharmacy. And Scott literally was like, "You're going to leave the house wearing that?" He's like, "Are you sure?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm sure." And I know that seems like a small thing maybe from where some of you guys live, but where I live, you just stay really quiet if you are not red, because people here are not nice about differing beliefs, and most of them are very red. And so it absolutely true that you have to be careful and wise. And so at any rate, it was an act of bravery, as silly as it sounds, to wear that shirt into any public place around here. I know, it's wild. But I did. I did. As it turned out, the pharmacy tech was super gaslighty to me, but I don't think it was about that. So it's probably fine. Anyway, I was trying to find a picture so I could show you, but I don't know. Oh, there. These actually turned out really cute. I made one for me. I made one for my sister, Kara, for her birthday, and then liked it so much that I made one for me and one for my other sisters as well. So I shall show you. Well, I wanted to show you. Maybe I can't. Tech, man. Oh. Sorry. This isn't tech's fault. It's my fault. Good Lord. All right. This photo is sideways. I don't know why, but you'll have to just turn yourself. But that's how it turned out. I think it's super cute. And it's fine. And to be honest, if you have a different political opinion, that's fine too. I'm not here to argue it at all. It just, for me, being able to do something like that, like I would never put a political anything on my car or my house, because it would truly not be safe to do. But I did wear the t-shirt. So there we go. Yeah. Yeah. One time, another time. But again, my mother did something that as a kid probably would have embarrassed me. But early in the morning, she opened the front door to put the dogs out to potty. And she could hear a woman screaming. And she put the dogs back in the house and realized that across the street and up the block, about a half a block, there was a man and a woman screaming at each other. And she ran down the sidewalk, across the street to these people's house in nothing but a very sheer nightgown. That's all she had on, you know, just like a silky nightgown. Nothing crazy, but, you know, not something you'd want to like be in front of other people in, probably, you know, but ran over there, got in between them. This man was a truck driver. He was huge, and he was screaming in this woman's face and did eventually actually batter her right in front of my mom. My mom got right in between them. She literally guarded this woman with her body, screamed at that man until he got in his vehicle and left, called the police, made a statement, offered to testify in court for this woman on her behalf. And then they moved away. There was no court. There were no charges. But who knows what would have happened that day? But I think about that now, like she didn't care that she had a nightgown on. She didn't even care that she didn't have shoes on. It didn't matter. She saw somebody in danger. And I've thought about that. My dad was stunned. He's like, you could have been hurt. That guy could have hit you. And she's like, I don't care. I don't care at all. She's like, come at me. Go ahead. Bring it. She was 5 feet tall, but it didn't matter. Anyway, may we all have the courage of Marianne, I guess, but totally fearless. Totally fearless. She came home from school. She was a teacher, and she came home from school one day, and she said, I am so puzzled. She said, I just sat down with my principal to discuss some things, and he told me that I intimidate him. And she said, what's his problem? Can you believe that? I'm like, bro, you are intimidating. What are you talking about? No idea. No idea. She was completely devoid of thinking that anybody would think that of her. She didn't think that of herself, which just really cracks me up. But so may we all intimidate where we should and be brave as hell. I think that's what this world is calling for right now. She did. My mom was really, she was a champion of who needed help, right? She was a special ed teacher, an elementary special ed teacher. And well, she had a dual. So she taught to elementary school for years. And then, but she also had her special ed certificate, and she taught a lot of special ed as well. But in that job, she had to fight a lot for the rights of the kids. Her very last year of school before she died, there was a meeting with the PTA, spring before, you know, they broke for summer. They had a brand new school. But what our district did is they budgeted to build all these brand new schools, but they did not budget for any kind of playgrounds. They were hoping that could come next, or that maybe the community could help with that. And so the PTA had a meeting with the teachers, and they said, this is the kind of playground we're trying to build. And it's, you know, here's how much it's going to cost. And we're going to start fundraising for it now. And we're hoping to come up with that money in about a year. And my mom, the special ed teacher, looked over their plans, and she said, how does this help my kids? And they were like, I don't know. What do you mean? And she said, this is not a playground for disabled children. She's like, and just so you know, we don't have a playground for disabled kids within about 150 miles. And so to me, if we're going to build a playground, why wouldn't we build one that fits the needs of all kids in our school? Well, that made a mark on the PTO president, and she went back and did the work and discovered that that was going to add about $100,000 to her project. And she did it. And she did it in a year. And so the PTO earned $135,000 to build the playground. And they finished it about a month after she died. And there's still a plaque over there that is dedicated to her. I'm really proud of that. And I don't know why I'm talking about this today, but I guess it's damn that full moon. At any rate, at the dedication, they talked about her and about how she threw a huge wrench of complication into into their plans. But what resulted in that was a handicap-friendly or disabled children-friendly playground. And we hadn't had one. And then what resulted from that was that they decided to make that school the headquarters for special needs classrooms. And they moved a lot of the special needs classrooms to that school so that those kids would have access to a playground that actually worked for them, that they could play on in a wheelchair, that they could play on with various limitations. And it's just a really cool thing. It's a great story. But I absolutely love how her being willing to stand up, her being willing to say a thing, you know, rather than just going, okay, yeah, this is great. Her going, no, this isn't great. What are you doing for my kids? If I'm going to support your project, what are you doing for my kids? Well, she did. She was willing to say it. And I think sometimes I hesitate to say the things that I should say or want to say because I don't want to ruffle feathers. I think we all do that, right? We've kind of, frankly, our society has kind of geared us to do that, right? To not say the unpopular thing, but at any rate, she was more than willing to say. And it wasn't always great. It wasn't always what you wanted to hear. You know, we were all the victims sometimes of what she wanted you to hear. But it's okay. It's okay. I want to jump into Luminous because that really fits our theme today. But I think that's why a lot of that's coming up for me. Several times recently in the Daily Dish, I pull a couple of cards for the Daily Dish. And several times recently, the Shadow card has come up. And it's come up in interesting places. This morning, it was the shadow card with the third eye card. And it really led me down the path of trusting your intuition, even when it's not what you want to hear or when it's something that is uncomfortable. Years ago, when we had Healing Hands, occasionally somebody would come in. A lot of times, unfortunately, a few times they were other healers or people that worked in, you know, similar industries that I just immediately took a dislike to. And I would always blame myself, like, you're just being a jerk. You're just being competitive. Maybe you're being jealous. Like, you need to stop it. But twice, kind of really close together, I got really burned by a couple of these people who I'd had the feeling about and I didn't trust. Instead, I put myself down. I gave myself the old talking to that I needed to knock it off. When in reality, it was my intuition telling me, don't trust this person. And I think as empaths, we're really bad for this. We blame ourselves. So this was the Daily Dish today. Your intuition also serves as a voice of warning. Sometimes you may strongly feel the need to take a different route home from work or reach out to someone you haven't talked to in a while. You may even feel a strong aversion to someone you meet. Empaths often blame themselves as they inherently dislike or when they inherently dislike or distrust someone, assuming they are just being unkind, rather than recognizing that their intuition is sounding an alarm. If your intuition says no to someone, trust it. You are not being mean or judgmental. You are simply following your spirit. Don't force yourself into spaces that don't feel right. That was the result of a third eye card and a shadow card. Don't be afraid of your shadow. And don't be afraid of your intuition. And when your intuition tells you something's wrong, when your intuition tells you not to trust somebody, regardless of whether other people do, or not to go to a place, regardless of whether other people are, listen to you. Too many times we look back and go, I knew it. I knew this didn't feel right. Yes, thank you, Laurie. Intuition is also discernment. I think we all just need a reminder of that sometimes. All right, let's pull into Luminous. So this, of course, is the magazine that I publish every week with the contributions of some of my friends. And this week it all came up about sisterhood. So let's get started. I called the magazine this week the Sacred Sisterhood Edition because as women, sisterhood is our superpower. I absolutely believe that. I believe that as women, when we elevate each other, when we celebrate each other, when we help each other, we help and elevate ourselves as well. Our biggest superpower is what we can do for others. We were all raised in our own bubble of sorts. We were all raised with different parents, with different situations, with different religions or spiritual beliefs. And those become our core beliefs. And those core beliefs are the way we move forward. And unfortunately, a core belief that has been pushed on women for a long time now is that women can't get along, that women tear each other down. Too many women in an office is a problem. Have you heard that one before? There's been a drive to divide women for a long time. There's been a drive to make women compete, right? We have to compete for looks, for bank accounts, for body shapes and sizes, for youth. We have to compete. And somehow we bought into this. I am shocked to see women in their 50s and 60s, 70s still engaging in mean girl shit. We got to knock it off. On the flip side of that, I see women everywhere taking care of each other. And that's what I want to elevate. That's what I want to emulate, because that's what will help us to drive forward in our society. It's what will help us to drive forward in ourselves, in our own goals, in our own manifestations. So that's what we're talking about today. When you celebrate the success of women around you, the message you send to the universe is this or something more for me. Watching a woman run for president, we've seen some typical tropes and themes come up. Regardless of what side of the aisle you stand on or who you're going to vote for, be offended at attacks on women that attack things around their looks and around their sexual behavior. Do not accept that. Do not allow that. I don't care if you hate Kamala Harris. That's fine. You have every right to feel however you choose to feel. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for or what you have to feel about anybody, but I am here to say, as women, absolutely none of us, and men too, none of us should allow people in our space to say disparaging sexual things. We shouldn't. Run on policy. Run on beliefs. Run on leadership. Run on experience. But attacking any woman that's running in a place of power by saying that she slept her way to the top, that she spent the last 10 years on her knees when they were running with Joe and Kamala, a t-shirt that I saw around here too many times was Joe and the hoe. Fuck no. We're not going to put up with it. We're not. We are going to elevate. And again, it's not about whether you who you want for president. It's about what's decent. It's about how we allow other people around us to speak about women and disrespect women. We're not doing it. We're not putting up with it. When you see it, call it out for what it is. It's misogyny. It's gross. It's inappropriate. And that's beneath us. It is absolutely beneath us. I'm not having it. So I wrote an article this week about celebrating each other, how women can best support and uplift one another. And I want to be fair. I know that I don't only have women that listen to my show, though I think by and large, it's mostly women here. And so I don't want to alienate my male listeners at all. And I hope that whatever I have to say here, you can glean a few things from as well that are helpful in your life and also in your interactions with women. So some ways to support and uplift one another. Embrace authenticity and vulnerability. When you go on Facebook, Instagram, hey, Kev, I think I was just talking to you. Welcome. Too often what we post, you know, what we show the world on social media is a snapshot, right? I think we've all been on social media long enough to know it isn't real, right? Somebody takes the perfect picture in their home, and you don't know if there's piles of clutter all the way around that, right? You don't know. So don't gauge yourself on how someone else's stuff looks, because that's, it's not real. It's a snapshot. When people are, you know, posting about their perfect trip, what you don't know are all of the things that went wrong, or all of the ways that they struggled with being on that trip because of their health, or because of, you know, how they felt they looked in their swimming suit or whatever. They're just things that we don't talk about that much in polite society. We should. It's stupid, but it's where we are. Embrace authenticity and vulnerability. Allow that in other people. Don't get weird and uncomfortable when people have uncomfortable conversations. If somebody wants to talk about sex, talk about sex. If somebody wants to talk about death, talk about death. Be willing to let people be real. And then honor those words. Don't ever use them against them. Don't share them with other people without permission. Honor that authenticity and vulnerability. When somebody is willing to share with you the hard parts of their life, they're taking off their clothes for you. They're bearing themselves to you. That takes some trust, and that takes some courage. But also be willing to do that too sometimes. Be willing to share the harder parts of you. I'm not saying you have to get on social media and, you know, share your diary. I'm not. But be willing to be real too. The best way we can support each other, one of the best ways, I think, is by being willing to be seen and see people for who they are. Celebrate each other's successes. This is a huge one. I really honor this in my kids. My kids have this great friend group. You know, it's their family away from home. And there's, I would say there's probably 15-ish young adults in their friend group. Fair amount of girls and boys, or men and women, young men and women. And they have been amazing at supporting each other. Like when they've had graduations, they all go. When something else good happens, somebody gets a new job, somebody is definitely going to host a barbecue, or they're going to go to dinner or something. When somebody, you know, breaks up, everybody rallies around them. Everybody. They've really, really touched me and made me again think the kids are all right. We're going to be okay, because I'm seeing these generations coming up that have so much more empathy and so much more kindness in them. But I really love that in their friend group, how much the girls take care of each other in that sense, celebrating each other's wins. I don't see these girls competing with each other at all, at all. They celebrate each other's wins. They defend each other. They take care of each other when they need it. And I think that we all need to do a little bit more of that. We've gotten so far from that. And I think it's something that we could all do better at. Just celebrating each other's wins. Offer genuine support without judgment. This can be very hard for women to accept. I can remember times when, you know, there was crisis in my life and people are like, what can I do? What can I do? Just tell me what to do and I'll help you. Whatever. There was no way on the planet of Earth I was going to let anyone in here to see my dirty house. You know, there was no way I was turning over my grocery list. Those are things I couldn't allow people to do for me. And I'm sorry now, partly because I did need the help. I was drowning in crisis and I could have used help. But partly because when you refuse to ever let anybody help you, and you insist on always being the helper and never the helpee, you really strip that away from other people, that opportunity to do something kind, that opportunity to be in service. And to me, I think that we do have to try and find some balance there. Let people help you when you need it, but also help others. Help others. Be willing to wash somebody's laundry or their dishes because they're just too overwhelmed to do it. Without judgment about how dirty their house is, who cares? We all have a dirty house. Be willing to just step up and help where you see a need for help. Not too long ago, Mars and I walked into a public restroom, and she watched a lady head into a stall carrying a baby. Like, she was going to try and go to the bathroom while she wrangled this baby. I can tell you personally, I've done that before. Mars asked if she could hold her baby so that she could go. And she let her. And so she stood right outside of the stall, so Mom knew she was right there, and just held the baby for a couple of minutes so Mom could just walk in a stall and go to the bathroom. Where you live, maybe you would never feel comfortable doing that. I don't know. But it was just, it's a small thing, but it's just a thing, right? It's just helping where help is needed and being willing to take care of people. I was impressed by that. That's a simple thing, right? But anything we can do to help each other, even in the small ways, we should do. But offering genuine support without judgment can be hard. It can be hard when that person maybe is living a lifestyle that you don't approve of, or has things going on in their life that you don't resonate with. Helping without judgment is a big ask. It is. And you really do have to monitor yourself and your judgments. Because help with judgment is just not help. Encourage self-care and boundaries. This is another really important one. Let people let you down. Let people say, I don't feel good enough to do that today, or I just don't have enough bandwidth or enough spoons, or I think I need to stay home and rest. Okay. Yes, do it. Got it. Let people let you down without punishment. Too often, we find ourselves doing things that maybe we really don't have the bandwidth to do, the money to do, the whatever, and we do it anyway and we suck it up for somebody else's happiness. Be the friend that is, or the family member, or the woman, or the man who's willing to say, hey, I'm so good with that. You take care of you. It's okay. Let people let you down without punishment. Create sacred spaces for connection. This is something that I find in general in my clientele is lacking around the world. Places for connection. It's one thing that I think people who go to church maybe, depending on their church, benefit from is having that social place or place for connection. One of the psychic fairs, or the like, kind of like a witch's market that we do about once a month, a craft show type thing. The owner told me recently, she said, you know, what I keep hearing from people is that they come to these events because they're looking for friendship. She said, so she'd actually had hired me to make buttons that people could just pick up at the registration table when they come that say, I'm here, I'm looking for friends, or I'm looking to connect, to try to help connect people with other people that are looking for connections. And I thought that was brilliant. And what a great way to just be able to say to the world, and that's pretty vulnerable, right? I think it's a huge act of vulnerability, but also such a great idea on the part of Kaylee to recognize this is what people need. It's a great thing. So there's connectedness there, and perhaps some friendships are made. But other spaces, things like book clubs, coffee dates, drumming circles, Reiki shares, any other kind of educational thing, a sip and paint thing. Connections for women are incredibly important. I learned a lot about this from a group I attended with my sisters and my mom a long time ago at the Unitarian Church. My sisters were Unitarians. I guess they probably still are. They don't really go much anymore. But there for a while, they were really like the Unitarian Church. And we would occasionally go with them to things. I was really happy just not having religion. I still am. Unitarians aren't necessarily really religious, though they are a meeting place more than anything, and a learning place, gathering place. But at any rate, there were some women, some sages, some crones that were teaching a group about, it was called Cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And it was a goddess course. I don't want to say class because it went on for, I think, 12 weeks. It was a course. But we started with ancient goddesses and worked our way forward. But learning about like the story of Isis and Osiris and about all of the different Roman gods and Greek gods and Hindu or Greek goddesses, sorry, and Hindu goddesses and all of their similar stories and how those women's stories might connect to our lives was a really powerful experience for me. That's a course that is actually like purchasable and teachable. So if you ever see someone presenting Cakes for the Queen of Heaven, do it. Do it. Do it. You'll really appreciate it. It's really, it's profound, I think. But sacred spaces for connection. We need them. And if you don't have one, seek something out. And if you can't find something, perhaps you create one. I think this is why women get together. Like where I live, a lot of women get together and play Bunko. I can't tell you what Bunko is. I've never played it. I believe it's a card game of some sort. I don't even know if that's true. It's a game. But there's a lot of women around here that have Bunko groups and they get together like once a month or maybe every couple weeks and they play Bunko and they eat and they laugh and they have fun and they gossip and it's good for them. It's good for their spirits. And groups like that are exactly what I'm talking about. Practice generosity and gratitude. It's not that hard. But lifting up other women, you don't know what battles people are fighting, right? None of us know. You don't know what's going on inside somebody's head. You don't know, even the most put together, seemingly put together person might actually have crippling anxiety or terribly low self-esteem that they're battling through every day. You don't know. And so you never know when a kind word from you, you know, a bit of sweetness from you or from someone else might be exactly the thing that they need. So be very liberal with your praise, with gratitude, with compliments. It's important. Honor each other's spiritual journeys. This is huge. Somebody can be a completely different religion than you, on a different spiritual path than you. You can still love each other a lot. You don't have to share everything. You can honor that in each other. I would add on that note, not just their own spiritual journeys, but also their relationship journeys. That's something that women need to work on. Be each other's mirror. Reflect back the strength, beauty, and potential you see in the women around you. Often we are our own harshest critics, and it can be difficult to see our own light. By reminding each other of our worth and capabilities, we empower one another to fully step into our power. So there you go. It's a That's how we can and will continue to elevate each other and to elevate the women around us. And again, when you elevate and celebrate the women around you, you are telling the universe that this is what you want to. It's a powerful way to manifest. Okay. Kelly brings a really interesting article. Last week, her article was about Mary Shelley. I hope you guys read that. It was really good. So it led her down the rabbit hole of birth charts of other famous authors. It turned out to not be what she expected, but the charts are right here. So she's got Louisa May Alcott, Jane Austen, Harper Lee, Agatha Christie, Mary Shelley, Maya Angelou, Gertrude Stein, and Charlotte Bronte, and has a breakdown of their chart and has an article about it. And it's awesome. I love it. Thank you, Kelly. I love seeing this stuff. And then you can listen to that as she discusses it also on her podcast right here at Refeminist History. A lot of good stuff. Okay. My tip this week is affirmative water charging. This is a really easy way to just continue to fill yourself up with light. It's not a big deal, but it is a big deal because water, a bulk of the planet is water. A bulk of your body is water. When you bless water, you are blessing the planet in a really powerful way. So you can do this a few ways. You can hold a positive affirmation and bless your water with that. Hold it into your heart and speak into it. Whatever your blessing is, your manifestation is, your positive affirmation is. And then just visualize your heart glowing up and filling up your water. Your water bottle, your glass of water, whatever your vessel is. And then just continue to drink your water, filling yourself up with those positive intentions and positive energy. This is an easy one. I'm going to take that one step further and also encourage you to do that with your medication. I've heard I've heard from many people that they hate taking medicine. They are suspicious of it. I think, unfortunately, in the New Age world, we've kind of set people up to think they're failures for taking medicine or doing something wrong. You know, there's some unfair ideas about medication. So on that note, it doesn't hurt to consider what you could do with your medication if you feel that way, or if you don't, to just supercharge it, to give you everything that you need. When I fill my box for a week at a time. When I fill my box, I just hold it up into my heart and I bless it. I just fill it up with light. I give it gratitude. I give it permission to enter my body and do the things that I need. I give my body permission to accept this medication to do the things that I need. I just do it once when my box is full. But you could do it every day. But if you struggle with taking medicine, and I know you guys are out there because I've talked to a lot of you over the years. Or you struggle with the resentment of having to take medicine, resentment at your own body's challenges that have resulted in this. Consider blessing your medication every day or every time you take it or like I do when you feel it. It's powerful. Okay, Christy's energy exercise is the root crown connection. Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad. We're actually covering a trial right now, the Robert Tellis trial. And it's an interesting one. He is a former politician in Las Vegas that's accused of murdering an investigative journalist who busted him for impropriety and eventually got him primaried and out of a job. I think anytime reporters are attacked, we should be paying attention. We should be talking about it. Jamie Dawn has an awesome video about the intense full moon in Aquarius. Intense, anybody? Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation, of course. And that's it for Luminous. So hopefully you found some gems in there, some things that you can benefit from. Wanted to jump in the chat room. Jessica said, I have to remember not to steal someone else's joy by not receiving their kindness. Exactly. Sid said, your amazing kids have had amazing role models throughout their lives. Some self-parent, but too many lack essential guidance. Yeah. Raising my kids across the street from my parents was awesome. Well, you know, tell the whole dying thing. But for the longest time, my kids had a lot of parents and bonus parents around them, giving them a lot. They were really lucky. I was lucky, super lucky to have the parents I had. Oh, good. JR said, I just got back from the dentist, almost done with the work. Oh, babe, I'm so glad to hear that. This has been a hell of a journey. Lillian said, I told my friend Dale she needed a break from me. She agreed. We haven't talked in 5 days, and I've been miserable. I will never suggest that again. Darn it. I'm sorry. Sometimes some boundaries are good, too, but yeah, maybe not too many. Well, I hope that you and Dale get together really soon and do something fun. Pamela said, I go to a spiritual cafe at our local metaphysical store in town. We meet once a month and no topic is forbidden. We respect and support each other. It is so awesome. I love that. I love it. For True Crime Squad, we have a Discord. Discord's kind of, it's like a social media site, but it's just, people just come to your Discord and then you can set up all of these rooms where people can discuss various things. And because of the Daybell trial, a lot of people wanted some kind of like a religious discussion group. And I was real worried about it because, you know, people can get a little wild. You guys, I have been so impressed by the way the people in this group have respected each other and educated each other sometimes or just discussed from different bents. But I have not had to remove a single post, a single person. There has been no nonsense, no mean stuff, nobody freaking out. I've been blown away. And not just the religious conversations. There have been a lot of political conversations, too. The political ones make me nervous, but people have behaved beautifully. And there's been some, you know, a lot of crime conversations, too, that, you know, people get very passionate about what they believe about certain crimes and things like that. But I just have to tell you how impressed I have been with the women in that group and the way they have respected each other. It's a hell of an example. Okay. Just jumping in the other chat room. Good to thank you, Suzanne. And thank you, Terry. Oh, Terry's also the night owl. She's with Scott on that. Hey, Kylie. Kylie's having a baby. Oh, so excited for you, Kylie. She said the moon last night was gorgeous. Yeah, it was here too. She would love a message from her grandparents. So I'm going to do that for Kylie, and I'm going to do a birthday reading for Lillian. So Kylie, let's tune in. Your grandma is literally dancing about the baby. She says, you are going to be the best mama. And she said she's so happy to get to be on this journey with you. She's holding your baby. Like right now. That is so sweet. Yep, she's going to be right by your side. She's kind of, so sometimes I've seen other spirits show me this before where they have a bit of a job, like they help to usher new spirits or new souls into the world, or new souls might be the wrong term, but helping souls into the world, helping them to get into their human bodies and acclimate to that and blah, blah, blah. And that is her role here. And I think also, Kylie, she's going to serve as a guide of sorts to your baby. So She's incredibly excited. Ah, such good stuff. Okay. All right, Lillian. I'm going to throw some cards for you for your birthday. Oh, Terry said, what a great idea about meds. Brilliant advice. Yeah. It's a good one. But I realized I have to go have this infusion now for RA, and it kind of sucks. You have to go to the hospital. You have to go to the infusion center, which is mostly people getting chemo. And it's like a 4-hour ordeal. And it's fine. Like, they take good care of you. They wrap you in blankets. They're fine. It's fine. Except for that. Well, I don't like being tied down that long, but, you know, I just bring my laptop and my phone, and I have plenty of work to do and things to think about and read and do and whatnot. But I've found myself dreading it. I've only had the first three, and now I only have to go every 8 weeks. So that's pretty great. As far as treatments are concerned, that's pretty great. But I realized after the last one that I had not followed my own advice to my chemo patients, which is always bless your meds. Bless that bag that's dripping into you. Bless those meds. I hadn't done that. And I thought, you know, that is foolish. And I should have done that. And I'm going to do that in the future because I feel like my body will accept that medication better if I would just do that and quit acting like it's the enemy. It's time to wake up and get to business. All right, Lillian, let's get your cards pulled here. Ooh. That last card is hiding from me. Okay. All right. So the card for now is Rejoice in Celebration, which probably means it's time for you and Dale to go have a cocktail, go do something fun, or with somebody else. But rejoice in celebration means literally that. Go do something fun. Go rejoice. Go enjoy. Go do some things that you want to do and enjoy doing them. Okay, moving on to 3 or 4 months down the road. The card is movement, choices, and decisions. And I feel like for you, that is a few things. It could yet again be around talking about your path forward here with where you are going to continue to live. I feel like this could also be a financial decision. I don't think it's a bad thing. I actually feel like this whole year is lined out for you pretty easily, where you don't feel like you're in flux and constantly having to worry about what, you know, what steps next or what's going to happen next. But definitely here, I would say somewhere around Thanksgiving-ish time, you are going to find yourself needing to make some decisions that affect you moving forward. But again, I feel like you have positive options and it's a good thing. And then a few months after that, so we're talking around the first part of the year into February-ish. So this is like a first 6 months kind of reading. Third eye chakra. So this is when you're really going to need to and want to rely on your intuition. It's not a bad thing. I feel like it's actually more of a push to experience and exercise your intuition. Maybe you'll take a class. Maybe you'll read a book. Maybe you'll get a new deck of cards. But I feel like you'll be feeling a deep drive to deepen your own intuition. And for you, that could easily be mediumship, I think. But working on any of those things. Yeah. So happy birthday to you. And thanks you guys all for being here. I absolutely should be here next week, barring anything crazy happening, but I don't think so. I should be here. I've missed 2 shows recently. I mean, I can go a whole year and only miss like 1 show. So that's pretty crazy. But, you know, life happens. It's okay. So that is what I've got. So I want to thank you guys for being here. I want to remind you that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 1tolisten.com, and you can find me over there every day doing readings, healings, energy work, animal communication, mediumship. I'll help you in any way I can. Sometimes it's just, some sisterhood, right? Or a kick in the butt. Sometimes you need a kick in the butt. I'll do it. I can do it. Thanks, guys. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 1-2 Radio. where we're changing the way you listen to the world.